Hear these words by Maureen Killeran. Welcome, you who come in need of healing. You who are confused or have been betrayed. Welcome with your problems and your pain. Welcome to you with your joys and your wonderings. Welcome your need to hope, your longing for assurance. Instead of answers, here may you find safety for your questions. Instead of promises, may you find community for your struggles. May you find hands and hearts to join you as we seek the living God. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. Totally didn't expect any of you here today on the long weekend, but I've been told that since it's raining, everybody's going to church. That's awesome. So we have the playground down front, we have lovingly staffed nursery care, and we have godly play after the word for all ages. All right, I have three coming attractions, three things coming up at FCC Natick in the next couple weeks. Next Sunday is our Historical Society field trip right after worship with a heavy coffee hour to tide us over till the field trip. That's where we're going to learn more about our history in Natick, the history of this church in Natick, particularly in relation to the Indigenous community as part of our open and affirming celebration. The night before is the West Virginia Work Camp concert in Chelmsford. One of the people who participates in the work camp is a professional musician, and he'll be playing and singing at this concert in Chelmsford. And then the week after, October 26th, Saturday, is the Trunk or Treat in the FCC parking lot as part of a Spookapalooza, what is it called? Spooktacular, I like Spookapalooza, activities in Natick. This fall at FCC Natick, we are building the beloved community. We're grounding ourselves in an image of the world the way God intended it to be. We're creating glimpses of that world when we are together, and we're growing our capacity for bringing that world to life. For those of us feeling anxious in this election season, may this time together give us strength, hope, and peace. This morning, our focus is on the power of community in bringing healing, justice, and peace to the world. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning, I'm Gail. Welcome to worship, and please join me in the call to worship. With the bricks of justice
together, we build a better world.
With the bricks of belonging together, we build a better world. With the bricks of understanding
together, we build a better world.
And with the bricks of love
together.
United by God's Spirit.
Together we build a better world. Amen.
Let us join together for our opening hymn, which is number 30. You can find the words on the screens and printed in your bulletin. Praise our God, all glory show. Please be seated. Our centering prayer this morning is based on Psalm 46, verse 10, and we begin with a bit of silence. In the quiet, listen for the sound of your own breath or the breath of anyone near you. Let that sound soothe you. Let us pray. Beloved, God calls to us, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. May we answer with our lives, like the one who taught us to pray, saying, Divine Parent, who dwells in the vast cosmos. May we hold a sense of wonder for your holy name. May your reign of love and justice manifest among us, on earth as it is in the shimmering heavens. Each day, provide us with the sustenance we need. And with the same sense of wonder, let us share our resources with others. And guide us along the path of love and wisdom, away from the entanglement of harm. For yours is the kingdom of awe-inspiring wonder, the power that fuels the cosmos, and the glory that lights up the universe, now and forever. Amen. Hundreds of years ago, the Nipmuc, the Pawtucket, and Massachusetts people once lived and worked and created and celebrated and died on this land that we now call Natick. The Praying Indians began the first church in this town, and we honor all of their memories. And we will not forget the incredible harm done to Native peoples, harm from which we still benefit. And so, as we share God's peace with each other this morning, may it be a promise to grow a just-filled peace throughout the world, and then we'll join together in our song of celebration. God's peace be with you. Peace.
Last week, we heard the words of the prophet Jeremiah, one of the prophets of the Hebrew tradition. This week, we hear from another famous Hebrew prophet, Isaiah. Now, today, we often use the word prophet to mean somebody who can tell the future, right? But Isaiah and Jeremiah, for that matter, they were not those kind of prophets. In ancient Israel, prophets spoke for God to all the people. So the prophets were speaking God's words. God, and so the prophets, tended to have two basic messages. One, stop acting like jerks. Remember, you're supposed to take care of each other, and if you don't cut it out, you're going to be in trouble. And two, I know things are hard right now, but I'm here, and I love you, and I'll help you. Sometimes those two potentially contradictory messages show up in the exact same chapter of the Bible. In this morning's passage from Isaiah, the people have been suffering in exile, and now they are getting ready to return to Jerusalem. The people have learned what matters. They are grateful to be returning to the promised land. There's a feeling of relief and even joyful anticipation. But God, through Isaiah, is just a little worried that people are gonna forget the lessons of the exile kinda quickly and go back to being more focused on greed and power than peace and justice. The people are performing all these religious rituals to show God how happy they are to be returning to Jerusalem. They're all fasting, they are skipping meals to show God how serious they are about following God's ways. But God sees right through it and has Isaiah tell the people that God does not care about skipping meals. God doesn't care about religious fanfare. God cares about how we take care of each other, especially the most vulnerable in our midst. So as Gail reads the passage, listen for the kinds of actions God is calling for, ones that I think are pretty familiar to us today, even if they're dressed up in ancient vernacular. Thanks, Gail.
Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them. Amen.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a village on top of a mountain. A child in the village got very sick. There was medicine that could help the child, but the medicine was in a village far, far away, in another village by the sea. So the people were able to send a message from the village at the top of the mountain to the village at the edge of the sea by messenger bird. The bird brought the message to the village by the sea that there was a sick child and they very, very, very much needed that medicine. So the people in the village by the sea, they made the medicine. They had the medicine all prepared. But the medicine was too heavy for the messenger bird to carry back up the mountain. So the bird couldn't take it, but they knew it had to get there very fast. So someone in the village took the medicine in their hands and started to run as fast as they could. They made it all the way to the next village. And then they were just exhausted. They couldn't go any further. But that was okay because someone in that village took the medicine and ran as fast as they could to the next village. And when they got there, they were exhausted and they couldn't go any further, but it was okay because there was someone in that village ready to take the medicine to the next stop. On and on they went from village to village, one runner after another, having the energy to start, getting so tired they couldn't continue, and then passing the medicine to another runner. All the way up the mountain they went. Finally, they got to the village at the top of the mountain, and they were able to give the medicine to the child, and the child was well. Today, we have planes, trains, and automobiles to get medicine where it needs to get, and we have hospitals that children who are sick can go to. But hope, compassion, and peace are the kind of thing that cannot be delivered by planes, trains, and automobiles, and don't always show up in hospitals. Things like hope and compassion and peace are still the things we have to pass from person to person, one after another. And it's hard for any of us to carry them all the time. We get tired, the road is long, but we don't have to go the whole way on our own. We pass hope and compassion and peace off to a new runner who does the next leg of the relay while we rest and get ready to run again. This is how the world, like the child in the village at the top of the mountain, is saved. As our kids up through grade 6 head to godly play, let's bless them for this leg of the journey. Living God, bless these beloved glimpses of you. May these children and all the world's children know they are worthy of love just as they are, and may they feel called to share that love with the world. Amen. Amen. Our second reading this morning is by Mieke van der Saal. It's a prayer called Overwhelm Prayer. Holy One, who knows what it feels like to be overwhelmed, hold our overwhelm. Help us know it for what it is: caring, concern, compassion, confusion. Hold it for us so we don't have to hold it so tight for ourselves. Help us release to you, knowing you are big enough, wide enough, vast enough to handle it all. Help us to give you what we cannot handle so that we can serve you through your people, so that our hearts can be released and open again, to learn to trust with the freshness of a child and the wisdom of a seasoned elder. To know that the call you place on our heart is real and true. To know that we have agency, we are not alone. To know that we need each other. And together, only together, we are stronger. Amen. Okay, true or false for you? I'd rather depend on myself than others. You don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to say anything out loud, but just for yourself, is it true or false for you? I'd rather depend on myself than others. Some of you are chuckling to yourselves. Apparently this just went right to the heart of the matter this morning. True or false? It is my duty to take care of my family, even when I have to sacrifice what I want. It's my duty to take care of my family, even when I have to sacrifice what I want. One more, true or false? It is important that I do my job better than others. These statements come from an actual psychological survey tool, but don't worry, we are not here to analyze you, each other, today. But exercises like this help us understand the spectrum of worldviews where one end is individualism, and the other is collectivism or communitarianism. Individualism, of course, shows up in statements like, I rarely rely on others, and competition is the law of nature. It's embraced as an American value, described as a foundational aspect of this country's strength. Communitarianism and collectivism are representative in statements like, the well-being of my coworkers is important to me, and I feel good when I cooperate with others. Now, I just used both communitarianism and collectivism. There are scholarly differences between the two, and I am happy to chat with you about the differences. But today, I'm going to stick with communitarianism, a group of behaviors and ideas that prioritize the group over the individual. Both individualism and communitarianism create a lot of knee-jerk reactions in people, and I'd say that's generally because either idea taken to the extreme is generally unhelpful. There is an individualism-focused bumper sticker that says, "This is America. We don't redistribute wealth. We earn it." Okay, well then let's stop with all the subsidies and the tax breaks for companies where the CEOs rake in millions and expect their employees to get food stamps, okay? On the other hand, a purely communitarianism society would probably prefer me to work as a home health aide rather than lounging in the brick tower of religion. So as with most things, a balance is helpful. Can I get an amen? All right, and a church like ours is actually a great way to see that balance in action. You all had your Wheaties, right? You're ready for this little sociology speech we're doing tonight? Okay. We are congregationalist in polity. That means we decide things as a group, as a community. We don't have a bishop or a pope telling us what to do. We're supposed to listen to each other, discern together, decide together, trusting that the good of the group, the good of the community, is good for us all. But we also emphasize the individual search for truth and meaning, which means there's no pressure, at least formally, for agreeing with what everyone else believes. We're held together by covenant, by mutual, equal agreement with God in the mix. And that's not just FCC Natick, that's how all the congregations in the UCC relate to each other as well as the denomination as a whole. So as a tradition, we highly value individualism. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. Yet at the same time, we deeply value a sense of community, that we are all part of one body and need each other. Moreover, this church and many UCC churches and religious communities in general also place a high value on caring for the world at large. We spend much of our time, focus, energy, and money on trying to make the world a better place for everyone, not just ourselves and not just people who believe the same things that we do. So that's more emphasis on the communitarianism side too. Okay, so does it make sense so far how we at a church like this balance both the communitarian and the individualism aspects of a church or community? Excellent, good, okay. So this morning, you know, I'm gonna focus on the communitarian side of things, but please remember that I'm saying everything in moderation. So last July, a colleague wrote an article about communitarianism, and her writing convinced me that we need to be thinking a lot about communitarianism right now, especially in this election season. She shared research from Robert Putnam's book, Upswing, How America Came Together a Century Ago and How We Can Do It Again Today. Putnam, who also wrote Bowling Alone, he presents research showing that every era contains both individual and community values. But when communitarianism is a little stronger than individualism, then justice, safety, and economic stability are also stronger. I did not read his book, so I am taking my colleague's word for it. But I could also listen to the prophet Isaiah. In this morning's scripture reading, he calls the people to free the prisoner, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless. If we do, Isaiah says, our community will be like a lush garden, full of beauty and abundance, and all of our broken places will be restored. And we'll get all the credit, God says, through Isaiah. We will be called the repairers of the breach, the ones who bridged the gap between the world the way it was and the way it was meant to be. Now, this kind of sounds like a quid pro quo. God says, you take care of those at the margins, and I'll reward you with gardens and buildings. I think it's more of a case of causation. If we care for each other, of course the world becomes a lush garden because now we all have enough. If we work together to mend the broken places, of course we are the repairers of the breach because we did the work together with our own hands. Almost 3,000 years after Isaiah declared his prophecy, his words still apply to us today. Caring for each other benefits the whole community, and it benefits each of us individually as well. Lily crying is a perfect example of this, right? So we hear Lily cry, and first of all, we're just so glad she's here, right? But also, every one of us, like, immediately is like, let me hold that baby. Now, we're all saying constantly, let me hold that baby. But part of it is because we want to care for her, right? And we want Lily, if we want Lily to feel comfortable and safe in this place, and we want her family to feel comfortable and safe in this place. So that's our instinct immediately goes to care for Lily, to care for this most vulnerable in our group. And doing so also blesses this community because it means that Lily and Lily's kids and your grandkids, they're also gonna be cared for in the same way. Totally distracted by the beauty of Lily. I have no idea what we were talking about, but does it matter? We could just like listen to Lily for a while longer. Okay, all right, so, back to scholars. Scholars say that these days, culture in the US is more focused on the individualism end of the spectrum. Does that surprise anybody? That culture, you know, more individualism right now? We get focused on Darwin's survival of the fittest and think that means we must compete. I need to come out better than you. While science, for the last 50 years, points to collaboration as the key factor in survival. But who needs science? So we need to focus on communitarianism more than ever. As we all know, the world is in great need. Between storms and wars and deportations, our care and voices and hands are desperately needed. Just as important, we're in this epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Coming together to work together on our common concerns not only means we make more progress, it also increases our own sense of well-being. We aren't alone in the worry, and everything's easier with somebody by your side. Including taking a break. One of my concerns for you folks in particular is that you are, or soon will get, overwhelmed by the needs of the world. How can you take a day off? People are sleeping on the streets. How can you complain about your stress? People just lost their homes to hurricanes. How can you go out to dinner, get your nails done, or go on vacation when children are dying in a genocide? The best part of communitarianism is that it isn't all up to the individual. We take turns, like the relay race. We watch out for each other. We make sure we rest. We need each other, but not all the time. I think this makes a spiritual community more important than ever. I know church numbers are on the decline and what the church will be in the future is up for grabs, but right now, a spiritual community may be one of the most important and life-giving places we can hang out. A counterculture respite from, an antidote to, the overemphasis on individualism that is putting us all at risk. In this place, we hear, over and over again, that we are worthy, just as we are, a beautiful and beloved child of God. And we hear, over and over again, that it isn't all about us. We're called to care for each other. In this place, we talk about how each of us has something to give and how we need the gifts each other brings. But we also prioritize each other's well-being and make sure there is time for silence and laughter as well. And then we take those messages out into the world and we spread them at work and in our neighborhoods and in social media, the power and blessing of being part of a caring community. Beloved, you are already the repairers of the breach. Your arms stretched across the chasm created by the greed and abuse of the powers that be. Your voices calling out for justice, rising above the hateful whispers of bias and division. Your whole beings moving all of us closer to the beloved community of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you're invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Laura. Oh, Laura, we're so glad that kids are home from college and you'll all be together celebrating birthdays, right? It's so nice to gather for a joy, but for any reason, it's just all good to be together. Thanks, Laura. Chris. That's great. We really prioritize our relationship with Family Promise, and this past week was one of our weeks to support the folks who are living in shelter there. And Chris organizes that, and she's lifting up the joy of Tiffany and Andrew helping this past week, as well as folks from Needham and Chris's neighbor. She's also noticing that there were some people who had to say no this week, and recognizing that, like, the value of people being able to take a step back and other people filling in, and how, what a powerful thing it is to be part of a community where we can do that for each other. Thanks, Chris. Robin, do you have joys up there?
No joys submitted, but I will do one that will bridge. Today would have been my dad's 78th birthday. He passed away 14 years ago, 2 days prior to his birthday. So while we forever mourn his loss, we want to celebrate his life and the joy he brought us.
Robin, can you remind me of your dad's name?
Bob.
Bob. We are grateful for the spirit of Bob that hovers around us today. This is the week of both the anniversary of his death, but also his birthday, and Robin and her family lift up all that he gave. Thanks, Robin. Declan. Declan, we are so proud of you for the medical test that you had to go through, and especially your recognition that going through that test not only required you to be brave, but it also meant there were things you had to give up that were really hard to give up. And Declan, I think being able to name those things is really important, so thank you for doing that. We happen to know you have some fun times coming up this week, so I expect pictures from that. Thank you, Declan. Declan is so good at this. Joys I might have missed, besides Declan. Yeah, Gail. She was here. Yeah, yeah. So Gail and Carolyn have returned from their ramblings around the country, and that included a visit at with Ken and Karen, who deserted us for the sake of family in Kentucky, and we're very happy for them, and we're so glad you got to visit them, and thank you for rubbing in that they live on a nice lake. Thank you. What concerns do you bring to this place today? We're gonna wait, okay. Robin, do you have any concerns up there?
Nothing up here.
All right. Let us come together in prayer. But our prayer this morning is based on a meditation by Nathan C. Walker. So thinking about everything we've been talking about today, with this prayer we seek healing and strength for ourselves that we might bring healing and strength to the world. So I invite you to get comfortable, both at home and in the room. Breathe deeply. You can close your eyes if you like. Maybe place your hands over your heart. Let us pray. Breathing in, I'm aware of my pain. Breathing out, I'm aware that I am not my pain. Breathing in, I'm aware of my past. Breathing out, I'm aware that I am not my past. Breathing in, I am aware of my anger. Breathing out, I'm aware that I am not my anger. Breathing in, I am aware of peace. Breathing out, I'm aware that I'm worthy of peace. Breathing in, I'm aware of love. Breathing out, I'm aware that I am worthy of love. Breathing in, I am aware of hope. Breathing out, I'm aware that I am an agent of hope. Breathing in, I am aware. Amen. Favorite aspects of life at FCC Natick is the wealth of collaboration with other agencies and religious communities. This congregation sees such collaboration as not only acceptable, but necessary. This fall, we've been working with folks at St. Paul's on youth groups for middle and high school youth. Sarah Lynn, our Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care, has worked on the content, recruited volunteers, and communicated with FCCN families about the program. We didn't have as many youth participating as we'd hoped. Families are pulled in so many different directions. But with this collaboration, we were able to offer fun, meaningful programming with a critical mass of young people. It's there for those who want it. I'm so grateful to Sarah Lynn for her leadership, and I'm grateful to this congregation for the willingness to collaborate as well as trying new things, even if they don't work the way we expected them to. I'm not sure what the next steps will be for our youth programming, but it is because of your generosity that we can be creative and collaborative and learn from each experience. So please feel our gratitude for that generosity as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering. In the room, we'll pass the plates from person to person, up and down each row. If you're adding a donation to the plate, we invite you to place it with intention, perhaps picturing the youth of the broader community who benefit from your gift. If you don't have money to put in the plate, please still hold it with intention before passing it on. you might still picture the young people in our midst and send them love and prayers. Folks at home, you don't need to have an offering plate handed to you to join in as well. You can just cup your hands and breathe in and out in prayer. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the hands that give them, that they might feel full of your love. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 516, O Day of God, Draw Near.
Thank you.
Beloved, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.